You're listening to Show Pony Radio with your hosts, Sarah Patricia and Katie Joe. Because behind every buckle, there's a story.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, guys. We're here this time with Karen Hornick. Hi. And Karen has the honor of being our very first woman.
Okay, Mama Goose.
Yes, I actually wanted to say that, so I'm glad you did. So, throughout this episode, if one of us calls her Goose or Mama Goose, we always mean Karen because that's what everyone calls her.
They do call me Mama Goose. Who started that?
Jeffrey Gibbs? Jeffrey did. So I'm excited to go talk about all that. So, this is interesting for me, Karen, because I've known you for years. And, you know, I know so much about you. There's a lot I don't know about you. So I'm kind of excited to hear about your story. And for listeners, it's my first time hearing this too, so it's kind of fun. So I want you to tell us about where you're from and how you were raised and how you got into horses and just go.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Oxford, Ohio.
Where?
Yeah, where's that? Oxford? It's kind of on the Indiana line near Brookville, Indiana. Oxford, Ohio. It's north of Cincinnati. I think that's right, north. I'm not very good with directions.
Karen, that would be north.
This is going to be good. We're off to a great start.
Let's keep going.
Oh, my. I got my start. Yeah, my dad, he did walking horses. Tennessee Walkers. So when I was a little girl, I just nonstop went to the barn and with my dad and worked for several people. And when I'd get home from school, I could not wait to go with him to wherever he was training at that barn, even if it was on his motorcycle.
He was a horse trainer.
And he worked at Cincinnati Knife Company, just manufacturing company. So he worked there during the day and then rode horses at night.
Doesn't he have cutters now?
Yes. Yep. He went from the walking horses and from there opened his own business, a family business, which was a donut shop in Fairfield, Ohio. And then from there, he did the team penning, and then it evolved into the cutters. This is hobby.
Okay. Did you ever sell walkers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I had the little suit and the joppers and hair and pigtails with bows. And, I rode them big lick horses. Dad put us to work. When I'd get home from school, we had to help get them saddled. And when those walking horses were done, you had to wash their feet every night. Get all the grease off their feet, wrap their legs, and you're done. It was a major ordeal.
You have to grease their feet?
You have to grease the feet every time you ride them?
Yes. It was a protection on their feet. There was a certain grease, this yellow grease you had to put on them. And it protected their hair. So the calluses wouldn't show through the hair. And you put the chains on.
Oh, yeah. That's a loaded question. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to take that bait. Are you?
Okay, carry on. Did you go from the walkers to this, or how did that
happen? I as a little kid, I had to do the walking horses with my dad. But I always wanted a horse that would trot, which was a quarter horse. And my dad would say, you don't want one of those. Those things trot. They're rough. So as a kid then, 4-H, there was Dr. Hayes in Liberty, Indiana. And he raised cutters. He had a stud. I think it was a tiny sidewinder. And so he would give me a two-year-old every year. That was my 4-H project. So I had to break it and show it and start from the beginning. And all my friends had the same horses over and over. Not me. I had to start over.
Well, I feel that. Me too. Yeah. I mean, not in the 4-H way, but my dad and Carly used to sell all my horses, so I used to start all over again every year.
Yeah, so you just start over.
That is crazy, hunt seat around for size. See if you can show this one. I just got the other one tame.
Oh.
Now what?
Let me think about this. I had those 4-H horses, which I love, the quarter horses. And I got married. I just worked in an insurance office.
Wait, how old were you when you got married?
18 or 19.
What?
I got married young, out of high school. Then the horses went by the wayside for a while.
You get married that young?
It was a high school love, and I just thought it was the right thing to do at that time.
Your parents think about that.
They thought it was wonderful.
Let me ask you a sidebar question.
Yeah.
So where you grew up, was it real country, like, you know, cornfields and stuff mm-hmm. like that?
Yeah. It was out in the middle of nowhere.
It wasn't uncommon to get married at high school.
No.
Right.
Not at all. Yeah. Back then, I mean, it was no big deal. Married your high school sweetheart and rolled on. He liked the horses too, but he didn't want to train.
So you got married.
Say his name, Dan Rutherford.
Yeah.
I married Dan out of high school. And then I had Justin. And
where were you working at this time?
Well, I worked at my parents' donut shop, Fairfield, Ohio. I had several little jobs. I soldered boards at an electronics company. I did that. I folded curtains in a factory once and went to lunch and never came back. That wasn't for me. Truth.
You had enough of those curtains on.
Yeah. And then I thought I landed the really good job when I got my job at Cincinnati Financial. I was a typist there on a computer all day. I couldn't stand it. Like, I would look at the AQHA Journal at lunch and NSBA. It killed me being inside sitting at a desk.
Did you have horses at all during that time?
Yeah. My husband at that time, Dan, he bought me a little mare.
What year is this? Just for reference.
I knew you were going to ask that. I don't know these dates, Katie.
Just guess.
What era of your life? Like, 20s? And your
yeah. Day? Yeah, my 20s, because I got married. Yeah, I'd had to been 22.
It was 95?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Just for reference. Keep going.
Yeah. So, I had a little mare, a dun mare that I rode, real cute. I did the open shows with. Good enough. So then I traded her for a horse called Pokey Straw Pants. Seriously. And we did those open shows, me and my ex-husband, and I won everything. That horse taught me more than I ever thought he would teach me. And we ended up selling him to some people in Tip City. And you might know Jeff Badgley, the Badgleys. Jeff and Chris Badgley at that time. And Jeff had a company.
That's way back playback, but yeah.
Yeah, that's way back. And so anyways, we sold it to them. Well, the next thing you know, they built a barn. And they wanted me to come up there and ride the horse, ride other horses for them. So they offered my ex-husband a job at company. And then I was able to go up there, and I just had Justin. So we lived in this big, beautiful farmhouse, rode horses. And next thing you know, I had a lot of horses sent to me.
Let me just stop you right there. So the open show circuit in Ohio was really strong?
Yes. We had an association called Central States. Okay. And people kept horses in training to be able to show at those horse shows.
This doesn't sound like an open show at all.
Oh, it was big.
So I lived in Michigan. Michigan had the Blue Water Corridor circuit.
And now they have
the Apple Blossom. Mm-hmm. And it's arguably as big as MQHA. So I'm just trying to put it in perspective. Like, it was not AQHA, but it was still huge.
Yes. Like, people, we went every weekend to every Ohio fairgrounds, it seemed like, nonstop. And I kept horses in training just for that.
How many do you think you had?
I don't know. At that time, maybe 10, which I thought I was rolling. That was good.
A lot for one person.
Yeah, yeah.
Was your full-time job?
Yeah, yep. Because my husband worked at their company and had a good job there. And that fell through and we needed to move. So I found myself then, like, needing to go somewhere. And I wanted to keep training. So Marty Joe Hayes had me come to their farm up in Eaton, Ohio. It's called the Rodeo Shop. There was a barn there, and I rented stalls and had horses and kept rolling and went from there.
Was your husband helping you with the training since he had his other job? Or
yeah, yeah. He was that person that, you know, did the hauling and hay and grain and kept it going so I could ride. He rode a little bit, but I was the main person. Justin would be there, our son, and played in the playpen, and was a barn baby at that time. Grew up in a barn, like all our kids do, it seems like.
Right. Jared spent more time in the playpen in the barn than he did in the house in the barn when he was a baby.
Yeah. They get used to it.
So, after Marty Joe, how long were you there?
maybe not even a year.
It wasn't long at all.
No, not long at all, because I ended up, Dan and I bought a farm in Tipp City. There was a little town near there called Castown, and we bought a barn. My parents helped me buy it, and it was had an apartment in it and like 40 stalls and a big arena. So I was beside myself to have my own place. It was great, and I kept it full. I was busy.
Still doing the open shows, or had you moved over to
open shows? It was all open shows.
My.
Yeah.
Kind of skipped over how you got into the pleasure side, though, because we kind of talked about the walking horses and then the cutting for each thing, but we never really got into Western pleasure horses and when that really kind of hit for you.
Well, when I got the horse from the vet, Dr. Hayes there in Indiana, those was my pleasure horse. I was, at that time, would listen to anybody, you know, help anywhere. Self-taught.
Yeah, this is the early 90s.
Yeah, I respected Brent Tencher. Really big, anything Brent had to say. And at that time, I had a customer, Sandy Michaels. They are now a customer, her daughter and her nieces. They bought a horse from Brent at that time, and that was a big deal. And Brent was able to help me with that. Following the program, at least trying to.
Exactly. Okay, so you're in Tipp City at your new place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's full.
Mm-hmm.
And what? What are you laughing at, Sarah?
You're like, this is my worst nightmare. You have a barn of 40 horses all by yourself with a baby in the playpen.
Yeah.
Me by myself with my husband who to drive the trailer and get the hay sounds really familiar to me.
Yeah.
The first round with a whole bunch of horses that I got to manage myself, I'm like, so I'm in hell for you.
Yeah, us women know it was bad. It was bad. It would overwhelm me. I had my first round of anxiety. It was bad.
At what age do you think?
25, 26, to where it was bad. I thought something medically was bad wrong, and anxiety can take over you that bad.
You feel like you were making real money then?
Yeah, actually, it was good then. Old horses at a lesser dollar, but you sold more of them, and you had it constant a run of it.
And your expenses were way less.
Yes,
it was $1.50 a bale, $2 a bale, yes. And you got it from your neighbor, and yes. Yada, yada, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It was fun. I enjoyed that. Taught me a lot.
Don't you feel like it's okay to feel anxious and anxiety if it pays? Like, I'm sure that lawyers that make $500 an hour don't feel the same kind of anxiety, but maybe they can justify it. But, but if you can't make it pay, you got to look back on the whole thing and go, man, I don't know if it was worth it.
Right. I mean, I guess where I'm at today, it was worth it.
Sure. What you got?
Yeah. What I have now is, I wouldn't have what I have now if I wouldn't have done that then. What doesn't kill you will make you stronger.
But that's the case.
Well, you guys have a lot in common.
How did it all go wrong? I mean, how did it fall apart? It had to, because you have a tie now and your life's totally different.
So. Yeah. Went through an ugly divorce and we parted ways.
It wasn't very good to you.
No. It was rough. Yeah.
Can we tell the story about when you left with the horse trailer?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So he did some things, and then I had no insurance at that time, so I had no license. And so I didn't drive for years. I just stayed at that farm and worked. I had nothing. I was there, and things got bad, and I decided to get strong. And I thought, I went and got a license, and that truck and trailer, I thought it's mine. And I got in it one time. I was going to a horse show in Indiana. Never drove a truck and trailer. By golly, I got in it and took off. I went. I whipped out of there, and away I went.
Good thing you couldn't reverse. You couldn't go back.
No, I had no clue how to back. All I knew is I had to swing wide so I didn't hit things. It was good.
I learned how to drive a truck and trailer. My dad and I were driving to the youth world. And, of course, every trip with my dad was a horse trading trip. So he took his big stock trailer and his drive-around truck with a horse to the youth world that I ended up winning the youth world on. Okay, so like this is Tony. Yeah. Tony. Like my big fancy hunting horse. And we're on the horse and we're driving and I'm kind of in the side seat. There's no cell phones then, right? So he pulls over and I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm tired, so you're going to drive. We're coming into Oklahoma and it was all construction. Okay. Now, yeah. He didn't know this at the time. Okay. So I'm like, I felt cool. It's like, yeah, cool. Now, believe it or not, even with my upbringing, like that's how it was. Anyway, so he says to me, he goes, he's exhausted, mind you. We drove all the way to Oklahoma without stopping. So yeah. Dad's what? Oklahoma. So he goes, all right, here's the deal. You're going to turn wide. You're going to stop early. If you get in a jam, wake me up.
Get a jam.
5 minutes later. And I was like, go to the youth world with Tony and this big stop to them. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, so anyway.
They all have to learn how to drive a truck and trailer somehow, I guess.
Yeah, hey. And I had like cement pylons on both sides of me. It was freaking terrible.
I don't know. It was very powerful. When I did that, I was like, wow, this is great.
You felt liberated by
it. Oh, yes. Big time. Yeah. It felt great to do something like that.
That was the beginning of your new life, right? That was that day was the beginning of it.
You didn't leave then, though. You just...
No, I tried to stay at my farm and keep things running on my own until we got our divorce. Then I decided... It was about that time I think that Indiana show would have been my first quarter horse show. It was the Indiana State Show at the State Fairgrounds.
It used to be huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I went there and then ended up doing some Lancaster shows, and then that's when I met Ty.
Now, were you divorced when you met Ty?
You can leave that part out.
For the audience, she's shaking her head no.
Big Red snuck in there, huh?
Well, we were already done. Katie Jo, my ex-husband was cheating on me.
I'm not judging.
He was.
There's not a single person listening to this podcast going to think I'm a saint.
It was bad. I said it was a bad divorce. But then when I started running those shows, and then next thing you know, I met Ty, but the divorce was in the process. Next thing you know, our friends, we all went out, and our buddy Wade Black, we all went to a little bar in Lancaster, and next thing he goes, you two should dance. And then it just took off from there.
Oh, Wade Black, matchmaker.
He was a matchmaker for sure.
And Mama Goose was smoking hot.
She had those Rockies on, you know it.
Smoking with the Rockies.
And at the time, Ty was rolling, right? I mean, he was moving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was moving like he was doing great.
Yeah, he had moved back home here to the family farm and doing his thing. Chris Jones worked for him at that time, and him and I kept my farm up there for a while, and he had his here, and we'd meet up for our little date nights and then meet at horse shows and
quote unquote.
Yeah. Yeah. Ty likes date nights. Romantic.
Some things don't change, Mama Goose.
That's right.
Was he the first guy you dated after Dan then?
Yep. Oh. Yep. Yeah. Much of a player. I'm like, oh, this will work.
So then you still had the farm and you were dating Ty. You openly dating, and then Chris Jones worked for him at the time.
Yes. We were dating, meeting up at the horse shows, and
horses then we should think about yet, or is it too soon?
Yeah, he had a nice group of horses. He had At that time, he had Flamboyant Fred for Greg Ferris. TNT. Ty showed the Fred.
TNT.
Yes. Who then produced the Flamboyant.
How do I know more about your husband than you do?
Damn it. I told you this wouldn't go well for me.
No, it's funny.
Dates and timeline. I'm having a hot flash.
This is what Show Pony Radio gets when we get three women together drinking.
So TNT Fluid Fred is the one you were showing then?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is about 98, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
Sure. In a year or two, either way.
Do you know how old you were when you first started dating him?
Well, I was married 10 years. So if I got married when I was 18,
then 28. Okay, so you're dating. He's got good horses. And then you get rid of your farm in Tip City at what
point? I sold it at about when the divorce. Yeah, the divorce was final. Got it sold. And I were together. I got me an apartment here in Xenia, in town. he got it for me. Yeah, Ty got me an apartment in Xenia because he still lived here with his parents on the family farm and had it going, and just lived here with him and had it going.
And then did you have training horses here too then?
I ended up moving a few here after once him and I got together. I didn't have a whole lot at that time. You know, I had to restart. Things weren't good.
Transition period.
Yeah. But I felt very lucky that Ty and I could team and start together.
It was like a fresh start.
Yeah, a good fresh start.
So how long did you date before you got pregnant with your son, Brandon?
Probably 2 years.
In those two-year period, you just built the business together?
Mm-hmm.
And you let you show some horses during that time, or you got more horses of your own in, or?
At that time, it was just riding. I didn't get to show a whole lot. It was all about Ty.
It was all about Ty.
All about Ty, and I was just so fortunate to have somebody like him that I looked up to and could be a part of all of it.
Also a different era.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be rude. I told her it was all about Ty when I got here. I didn't get shown.
It was Jerry Stanford's wife at the time that did all the work and didn't do any of the showing. What was her name?
Marty. Yeah.
Ty talked
about them. He said those were great.
My mom does too. And so I think this is just an era when, you know, this is not a knock on anyone. It was just a different time. I think even since 95 until, you know, 2015, whatever that is, mm-hmm. I think that much has changed.
No, it hadn't. It's a big change, that's for sure.
So in that time, in the 2 years before you got pregnant with your son, Brandon, Ty was showing, you were helping, Chris was working for him?
Right when I got here, then Chris went ahead and went home and started his own business shortly after I got here.
So did you sort of just fill in that role?
Yes, I think I filled in, definitely.
And what were some good horses you guys had during that time?
Once Ty and I got together, then it was Tom Wilson from Indiana was Ty's main customer then. Tom and Alan Wade and those guys, it was at Indiana Group because before Ty came back home, he's in Warsaw, Indiana. That's who he worked for, John Scott. So he had Greg Ferris here then. Greg had several nice horses. He had some local people, and just with what we had.
So then you, I'm not trying to rush, I love the story, so I really want to tell the story.
Brandon's 22. I'm 53.
So it's actually 23 years ago. Finley, Ohio. And this is when Finley was like the Matt Daddy of horse shows. They used to have this NSBA breeders program, a breeders class, and they gave each state
incentive fund classes.
Incentive fund class, thank you very much.
And you could enter that class for $75 each state.
Like a slot machine.
Yes, paid crazy.
And each state had their own class.
What year are we talking here?
We're talking late 90s because, yeah, I was young enough that I didn't really know who Karen was. But anyway, so we're sitting down, and I sat next to this beautiful lady in a red shirt and had big square sunglasses on. I'm 15, 16, something like that, I don't know. And so I sit down to watch some big glass, and I remember Ty was showing and my dad was showing, and there's this beautiful lady that's pregnant, in a red shirt, and she has big square glasses and this amazing smile.
Aww.
And I remember as clear as day, and I sat down next to you. I think I stared at you or something for a while, and finally we started talking. And I just thought you were the nicest person in the whole wide world. And I remember I was mesmerized by your voice.
Aww, that's
still
so...
love your voice. I know. I find mine annoying when I listen to this back, but I already find yours awesome.
Aww.
So I remember all that.
You didn't have to be. At the end of the class, I realized that you were with Ty, and you were having this baby, and yada yada, and it's like my favorite first Karen memory ever. I don't know what we talked about. I just know that I was like this person that wasn't even important. At the time, there was this running joke that no one knew Wayne had a daughter.
Right.
I don't went to any of the horse shows with him early, and so you were like, oh, Wayne's your dad? And I was like, yeah. And you were like, I didn't know Wayne had a daughter. And I was like, yeah, I know, it happens. But they know now, don't they? I just, so kind. That was the first time I fell in love with Karen.
Aww.
Then the next year at Findlay, Ohio,
yeah.
I remember, I think, you wore a red vest and you showed a pretty subtle mare. She was back when invitations were it.
Was that present your invitation?
Maybe, yeah.
The sorrel mare with the white leg?
Yes.
I love that mare.
And Ty had the bay stud.
Ty had the bay stud.
Bay stud.
Zippo's RV.
Zippo's RV.
That was
for
a
sure,
cool horse.
Zippo's RV. And I remember clearly that I thought for sure you won. He beat you. And I was pissed. Dad and I got in this huge debate, and he was like, well, honey, that's a stud horse, and that's Ty Horick, and yada, yada. And I was like, but he meant it from the bottom of his soul. He thought it was okay. And he was like, well, honey. And I was like, Dad, that sorrel mare and Karen in her red vest, and it was one of those fashion Haley Lynn collection kind of red vest, you know? With the
red leather?
Yeah.
Like the shiny. I know, isn't it dumb that you remember as a kid?
No, I understand.
Karen was supposed to win that. Beginning of my infatuation with Karen. That was the year you guys really, really, really dominated.
Yeah. Yeah, it started happening then. That's when I can remember things starting to roll and get some new customers and customers together that we built together. So.
Name some of the horses that you think started it for you guys, like that new generation.
Ruckle Rumors. We loved her. Sweetest horse. Cammie Maleka bought her. Her and her mom sat at the Congress one year up in the stands and picked out three horses. And Ty said, these are the three we want. I said, this one, the Bay Mare, Radical Rumors. That's when they bought.
Keith Shore?
Troy Compton.
Compton, sure. That's right. Sorry.
Troy showed her and...
It's all a blur. I get it. I'm just trying to put it all in perspective.
Then you had the Zippo's RV?
We had Zippo's RV. We had...
and the Empire Mare were the same year.
We had Prestigious Madonna.
That was Brian Cox's horse.
Yes. Brian, we had that one. We had Jesse's Little Image,
which is a mother she made.
Yeah, we had her.
Justin's horse.
Yes, yes. Ty's nephew, Justin Horsley, won the whistle stop on her.
That was a big deal.
Yep.
For all you listeners, you have to understand that Hornets were Ohio, and my dad and us were Michigan. Oh, but no, not in the rival way. There's like this area in the Northeast, like Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, all sort of Illinois, you know, Pennsylvania, Harlansburg. We were all a big family. We did. So I remember all these horses as a little kid. Like, this was the era when I was old enough to pay attention. So I remember, but I was still young enough that you guys were like my heroes.
Yep. That was cool. That was a good year. That year we had Gypsy's Little Image, Radical Rumors. There was a horse called Primetime Potential. Patty Kinsey had was nice. Prestigious Madonna. And Zippo's Ace of Spades.
So you did all this, and you buy this Radical Rumors horse for Cammie.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Zippo's Ace of Spades, who is one of my personal favorites you've ever had.
Yep.
Obviously, it'll be Nicole Barnes' favorite of all time.
It was all time.
I'm going to guess Nicole's favorite, yeah.
Yep.
And then, is this when Ty wins the world?
I won the world on Radical Rumors as a 4-year-old.
Okay.
And Cammie won the amateur honor. Both won that year.
When you bought her from Troy, she was 3?
2-year-old.
Did she win the Congress as a 3-year-old?
Pretty sure I think Ty won the limited. Limited 3s on her.
It was complete and utter horn domination then.
Yeah.
So when does Dynamic Sports Buff enter? Because for me, is that your first major victory?
Yes.
You were second at the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those dumb things I remember because I love you. I sat in the stands at the Congress, and you won something really big. You were second in something really big.
Yep.
Did you have a pleasure?
3-year-old open.
Yes.
I was second. Keith Whistle won on...
On an Impulse.
On an Impulse. So Keith won it on an Impulse, and I was second on Dynamic Sports Buff.
It's funny because we're putting the genealogy together of like a bunch of really famous horses just talking about these horses.
Yeah, I love it. I go back now. I know I'm getting old enough now that I'm like, oh, I rode that one's mother. I rode that one's grandma.
I rode the Art of Pretty Mare.
I did too.
You did? Oh, I had it. You were on the border for Bailey's, right?
I did.
And then we got her, and that was when Jess was second at the World Show.
Mm-hmm.
And was that the last unseated horse you showed?
No, years later, I had one for another late, a black horse that I showed in the Green Hunter under saddle stuff, and just had that one horse and enjoyed it for the year. It did good in the green. Enjoyed it.
Wants to bring it back.
Yeah, I'm going to ride a little bit again on it.
I thought Bailey's a good horse.
Mm-hmm.
Look what she's done for the unseated breed. Look at that, Mama Goose. You have like a handful of unseated horses, and you're like, I'm just going to change a unseated breed with one horse. Boom.
Are that pretty?
Okay, so sports buff. What happened after sports buff? Did that sort of open the door for you to get taken serious in the pleasure?
Yes.
Do you think?
Yes.
I was at a time when it was what you and Tina Caven and Carol Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
I love Carol Metcalf. Was one of my heroes. I really look up to Carol. She's a cowgirl. She's a hand.
Carol. Yeah.
And Tina.
Tina, who did great too. I'm not taking anything away from you. And so I feel like as a woman today, I mean, I do good, but I didn't have to blaze the trails y'all did. I mean, you were second in the threes at the Congress in a time when I bet there hadn't been a woman in the top five for, yeah. If it wasn't Tina or Carol.
Yeah. No, this is tough. Trust me. There's many times I've
heard. Diane Eppers. We can't get Diane.
Yes. Diane, I look up to Diane.
I call her the godmother.
Yes.
She's the one.
Diane's fearless. Great.
I got sidetracked again. Fearless. So, I guess from a sports buff, then what?
They open doors for you? You get more horses after that?
No, we got more year-olds and more that you could shake a stick at. More horses to go through. And
who worked for you at this time? A little rundown of, we've covered about 5 years, so give us a little rundown of your help.
Well, we had Brian Cox was the first person to ever work for Ty and I together. And I remember Brian was working up north here, actually for a guy that had a miniature pony, miniature horse farm. And seriously.
Guy like Brian to ride miniature horses.
And Brian was working.
Right off, he just put his heels down.
And the guy knew Ty, and somehow he brought Brian here. And at that time, oh gosh, we had our little office upstairs in that little barn, and we never had anybody work for us, and we're like watching Brian ride this gray horse around in that little arena, and Ty and I looked at each other and we're like, I don't know, we've never had somebody else ride our horses. Like, we didn't know if this was the right thing to do, to have help.
Is it common then to have somebody like that?
Not for us, it wasn't at that time, but we knew we needed some help and somebody needed to be there.
How many horses did you have at that time?
20, I mean, at that time.
Too much for two people.
Too much, yeah. Yeah. So we hired Brian. That office that we watched him out of, looking out the window, watching him ride that gray horse, turned into Brian's apartment. That little barn. So he came there and he lived in that little apartment. And Brian was a one-man band. He cleaned stalls, he fed, he rode, he worked his butt off.
Now, in episode 2 of Hornix, we sit down with the help. And Brian also has great stories about this time. So, for those listeners, that's coming next.
Yay. Yes, I think it went Brian, Jenny, then Jeffrey.
So, you have Brian Cox, Jenny Leese.
Mm-hmm.
Still one of my favorites. She's the nicest girl.
Yeah, great hand.
And, yeah, does a great job. Nice girl. And Jeffrey. Always goofy?
Oh, yeah. He was entertaining. I never laughed. Brian Cox and Jeffrey Gibbs have made me laugh more than anybody. Those two were hilarious. The things they would do on a horse, funny. Funny, fun people.
Made the day boys. Better?
Yes.
It's fun to have fun. I mean, I know that sounds dumb, but do you think laughing is a lost art? I mean, outside of our family, Don't you think laughing is a lost art outside of the family?
Absolutely.
Like, doesn't it just feel good to just, from your stomach, just laugh?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And those were things that happened then. Those guys, like I said, you just didn't know what they were going to do, what they would do on a horse, like, just fun stuff.
And the listeners, again, there's a story that Brian tells. When Ty and Karen were building their indoor arena, the big one, and he drove this kid steer through the wall.
Brian.
It is amazing. Oh, and it will be posted. It's awesome. Yes.
Brian, we to this day, we still talk about it.
I need to resign, you guys.
Down the road thinking he got fired.
Yeah. He's like, you got my pink slip. He come walking with his head down. Brian was very sensitive. He was very sensitive and emotional. He was in a good way, in a sweet way. He worked so hard and took it so serious. and then when they quit, I cry. Like, they're, because I just want to feed everybody. And I took care of everybody.
That's why you're Mama Goose.
You're Mama Goose.
That's right. I want to take care of my works here.
It must feel good to know that he was ready to go on his own and do good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a stepping stone.
Loved. You guys love him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Stepping stone for all of us. And it's got to happen.
Yeah.
Got to happen.
So, for me, I don't want to jump ahead. Never mind. We got to keep it.
Okay, so sports buff, the era after sports buff.
That was our biggest year when we had all those 3-year-olds. 5, 6. Then your invitation. I think I missed her on that. Those 3-year-olds.
Yeah, you're rolling.
Yeah.
So we have to keep going on our timeline.
Okay.
What year is this?
Did Rumors
win the world show?
Well, I could go back there and look in the office and look at her picture.
The funny part is Ty would know every single year.
Yeah, Ty's way better on this. On the
you guys
year.
Already kicked him out of the house. He's not coming back now. Okay, so roughly we're going to go from this year, which was like Presenter Invitation, and then Sports Buff, Ty Had Rumors, a whole bunch of awesome horses in the middle there.
Prestigious Madonna.
Prestigious Madonna was Brian Cox's horse that worked for you then, and mm-hmm. So then your next big horse, Lazy Loper?
I think a lot of people don't know that you showed him, to be honest.
Yeah, I showed, Lazy. It was...
tell us all about that.
Congress, Rick Cecil finished up the Congress on him, and...
How old was he?
2-year-old. I showed him in the Coughlin, and I'm not sure where he ended up, but the horse was entered at the World Show. And Rick said, he's good to the left, he's good up front to the right, and I could use some help. I took him home from the Congress, and went to working on him. Matter of fact, Jenny worked for me then. I remember that now because Jenny helped me with him too. And we went to working on him, and it got good. I mean, and at that time, I didn't go, oh my God, this is a great one, and I'm going to do this and this with it. The horse was handed to you, and I just went to work. You didn't think anything of it, and you just got to make it better.
Well, and you only had 2 weeks till the world show, so
yeah.
I mean. What can you do?
Yeah, so it's like, we're just going to work on him here to the right, and then took him to the World Show, and I was third in the twos on him.
As a woman, which is also, at this time, unheard of.
Yeah, it was amazing. I got my first trophy at the World. That's the first year they handed out a third-place trophy. Lucky me.
First trophy was Lazy Loper.
Yeah, my first trophy was Lazy Loper. And I loved him. He was so good-minded, beautiful. He was my bud. I loved him.
Did you get to take him home from the World Show?
I'm pretty sure. Like, he went back home that time with Rick. And then Rick showed him as a 3-year-old. Did some things with him. And then he came back to me. I showed him at the Congress as a 4-year-old.
But didn't Keith Whistle buy him at some point?
No, Mike Farina bought him.
Who was J.R. Reichert's customer.
Yes, and he also bought Invitation Only. Mike did. So then I had him. I helped Rick a little bit here and there. And then I had him as a 4-year-old. I showed him at the Congress, the Junior Pleasure. And it was my most memorable moment to show at that big of a horse show. They lined us up. And you know, they walk you forward before you back up. And I couldn't even get all the way forward, and the crowd went crazy. Happened. It was amazing.
Did you cry?
Yes. In my mind, I might as well have won the class. just because the crowd went crazy.
You were and a fan favorite.
Yeah. And he was 4, and I ended up 5th in the junior that pleasure that year. It was...
And at a time when you were the high placing... Now that I'm trying to make this about being a woman, I just...
Yeah. No, no. It was tough, but I enjoyed that horse.
You knew that you did good that day. You looked good. Everyone mm-hmm. looked crazy.
Yeah. He was a blast to show. So much fun. So then after that, J.R. Riker put it together. Mike Farina was bought him, and then they wanted him to win a world title, and they came to me and said, would I get him ready for Keith Whistle, to win the world on him? I had to swallow. I'm like, sure. I'll get him ready for somebody else. I love the horse so much, it didn't matter, and Keith would get it done.
Well, you were missing. You were missing some key parts. I mean,
yeah,
just that's the way it was,
and that was okay. I just wanted the horse to do good.
Anyway, and it was a camp victory. You got the horse ready, and he
absolutely.
Even yes. today, it's all about the camp.
Absolutely, and I didn't mind that. So, so we got him ready for Keith, and that was my time I got to work with Keith the most, which was a lot of fun. I'll never forget being at the World Show, and he took a little test run on him. The horse was sweaty. Wasn't really the best that day. And I just wanted him to ride him anyway. And the only thing Keith was worried about, he got off, and his jeans were sweaty. They got sweat on his jeans. Keith was upset about it. That's so bad. But I remember that. I'm like, this guy, he's just worried about his jeans being dirty. I'm like, we'll have him ready. He'll be good.
Let's not get that starch sweaty again.
Oh, Lord.
How did he end up doing?
He won. Keith won. It was a victory. It was good. He got him shown.
Can you tell the light bulb story, please?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I needed a ride. You know, I wouldn't fly in an airplane for the longest time. I was afraid to fly. So I had to catch a ride from the Tom Powers to the Paint World. And I stayed.
The same era.
Kind of that same era, yeah.
Okay.
And I went in there to get ready, and Rajlan was in there. I think I stayed in that room with them. Keith wasn't there at that time. Oh, that's right. Keith left. Rajlan left. I got to stay in that room. Well, the light bulbs were changed in the room, in the bathroom. So Keith had plenty of good lighting to get ready in the mornings.
He changed the light
bulbs? He had his own light bulbs?
Yeah, he had him change the light bulbs in the bathroom.
Did that make you look better or worse?
I don't know. Didn't make me
I don't want really good lighting in the bathroom for me.
I don't want good lighting anywhere.
Oh, gosh. It was Jim. Jim drove me to the Paint World because I wouldn't get on that airplane.
Jim was
it was
Keith,
just Jim. It
Keith's
was,
driver, right?
It was his personal assistant, Jim. I don't know if we all remember Jim. I wish I knew Jim's last name.
Shout out to Jim.
Jim was amazing. He drove me to the Paint World.
See, Jim. So he went to the Paint World with Whistle, and he had his own lights in the hotel room.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's cool. So then, after Lazy, part 2.
What is it you guys call yourselves? Mechanics?
We're mechanic.
Fucking mechanics.
I know. I do that. I said that to Sarah the other day. I go, I'm going out here to do this and this, and I'm a mechanic today. I'm going to tinker with this.
Mechanic. That's what I say about Shaki.
Yeah. And then he said, don't blame me. I'm just the mechanic.
That's right. Don't blame me. I'm just the mechanic.
Oh, that's it.
So when we scan the Rolodex of the Karen Hornick horses, next on the list would be
a certain Vino.
Stanley Ryan, works for Pettis.
Yep.
He wins the Reichert Celebration. The first, no, the second one, I think, was $100,000 class.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the World Show and he's second, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And am I right about this? Was Keith Whistle the winner on the roan horse?
No, Jay Starnes won on the chip horse. Sarl, full of, was it?
Well, he was still a non-pro then.
I don't even think he was a...
Yeah.
Was
no,
he?
No, I think so. Yeah, because I think on this. Wasn't it Arl just won Blaze?
No. It was Blazing Hot.
Arl just won Blaze?
Maybe. Sarl.
So, Jay Starnes won the Masters on Arl just won Blaze, I think. And didn't he go win the World Show on it as a non-pro? Stanley was second. I'm getting ready to call Jay.
Yeah, do it. Can we phone a friend? This is a show pony first. We needed to phone a friend. We need a lifeline.
To the phone, Jay. Now we're in anticipation.
What else could he possibly be doing?
What was his... It was a Sarl.
I thought it was Sarl just one place.
Because we had it. When? Did he send it here?
Okay. This is what happens when you phone a friend and they got the music going and no one answers.
Okay. Call Christy. Call Christy. Don't give up.
Call Christy.
Can you hear this?
Yes.
This is perfect.
Come on. Answer the phone.
I'm going to call back in like 20 minutes. Call Christy.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Let me go one more time on Jay. Yeah. Hi, Jay. Yeah. Say hi to Sarah and Karen.
Hi, Jay.
Okay, we're having a trivia problem.
On Show Pony, for the record.
We have you on Show Pony Radio right now. And... So, the year that Stanley Ryan was second on Vino, who were you showing?
I like Hot Chips.
I like Hot Chips.
Yeah! One for Karen. Was that the horse you won the Masters on?
No.
That was Isle Just One Blaze.
No.
I had a memory.
You're 0 for 2.
Dang it. I missed out on this. Okay, so, I like Hot Chips.
Yes.
Yep. That was a horse that Troy Compton bought from you, right?
No.
No?
He
did say that, Karen.
Yep, he did. It's amazing. It was awesome to ride after Jay.
Karen said it was awesome to ride after you. Say hi to Show Pony Land. We're coming after you soon.
Oh, nice.
Ever the enthusiastic one is signing off. Thank you, Jay. That's all we needed. We found a friend.
Bye.
Well, Karen, you did pretty good there. You weren't too far off.
I wasn't too far off.
You know what? Katie Joe was wrong, and I apologize for even...
Pause, let me write this down on my calendar.
If I'm wrong sometimes, it happens a couple times a year.
April 28th, the day Katie Joe was wrong. Got that.
Okay, so anyway, I like Hot Chips first, and Vino was... Then was that... That must have been when Bruce bought him?
Reeves bought him.
Reeves were a customer of Bruce Vickery's.
Yes. They bought him at the World Show his two-year-old year when he was there. And then Bruce had him, and they changed leads on him, done all that, and I was in Lexington, Virginia. I think that show would have been in April, and Bruce asked me to help him with him a little bit there, just to get, like, some buttons, like, more non-pro friendly, I guess.
You were the ultimate mechanic at this point. You were a known mechanic.
I tried. So I enjoyed it, and it was good.
I can't imagine why.
I like being a mechanic.
You probably like riding a certain Vino, too.
Yeah.
So you took the horse in Virginia, and then what?
Bruce brought him here off and on. Like, I didn't keep him all the time. Bruce brought him here, and I rode, and then he picked him back up. And we got him ready for the Tom Powers. And
Bruce won.
Won, yep. Won the limited threes on him there. And
again, that was a huge victory. Like, give the Tom Powers deal credit. That stuff stays a huge deal. Like, the limited was a two or three cut. It still is.
That
horse show sets the pace.
Yes. The limited stuff is huge there. That was a really big deal. And Bruce hadn't done a lot of pleasure.
It's part of the country that it's in, and there's a little hotbed of Western Pleasure stuff up there in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Indiana, Illinois,
yep.
Pennsylvania, there's that deal.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's coming. It ends up being in the Carolina Boys.
Yes, yeah.
So Bruce just didn't do a lot of the Western Pleasure at that
point. He did an incredible job at the all-around and bought those people. His great eye bought that horse and knew it was the next great Western rider. He wanted some help in the pleasure. So, I mean, I'm fortunate he came to me and I got to do that. And then the next, he stayed with me. And we just focused on the pleasure for a while. And
was that your...
After the Tom Powers?
After the Tom Powers, yeah. The horse stayed with me, and he was bought for Darcy Reeve at that time. The sister showed him at first, Kelly. Then Darcy, it ended up being her only that her to show him. And Darcy and I became a great team. She was...
How are you doing the threes at the Congress that year?
I won the limited. I won the limited threes on him at the Congress.
That was your first Congress win?
Yes. First Congress win.
And then what did you do at the World Show that year?
You know what? We didn't qualify him. He didn't go to the World that year. He didn't go until he was four. And I just...
How was she there?
Yeah. I won. But, you know, it was rough. Like, that three-year-old year off and on, like, he would hit... Kind of could hit or miss. And I remember...
Wade Black working really hard on that horse.
Yeah, Wade worked. I have a great team support. It takes a team to get these horses ready. I've always had a great team and very open with anybody that works for me to help. I'm not closed-minded at all. And
Barbara, you and Wade always tag teaming that horse a lot in his younger years. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Did Ty ride him a bunch when he was younger, too?
Yep. Ty rode him. Wade rode him. Yeah, never. You could... He was a great one, but... You couldn't take him for granted. It wasn't like, oh, he's, you need to do your homework, or he would laugh at you at the end. Oh, yeah. He had ears going.
What was the worst thing he ever did to you in the show pen?
Oh, man.
We've all seen the great stuff. What's the worst thing he ever did you?
Well, his biggest thing is the reverse and walk. I know it sounds silly, but that horse, I mean, I had the hardest time trying to figure out how to make him walk. I came up with all kinds of things. I would pretend that I asked him to lope off and go, no, I didn't. I'm just kidding. And so I worked on that all the time because he was so talented at everything else. But something that little could, I mean, you couldn't have it, that happen. Just take off on you.
Right. Nancy Tim once told me, look in the stands.
Mm-hmm. Look in the stands.
Look in the stands. But when you reverse, look off. Mm-hmm. Forget about your horse for a minute.
Yes.
It really worked.
Yeah.
Now, neither you or I want one to be so unbroke they won't walk.
Right? Who told you that? I didn't hear who told you that.
Sue. She always said, if you don't want them all walk, look in the stands. And I was like, well, I just prefer that they walk when I say walk. When push comes to shove and you're in the stands, sometimes I look off and it's never
never not helped, huh?
I was like, damn it, Nancy Sue, good call.
That is so true.
Savino's story.
No, there were so many good ones. He made me feel special.
You are special.
Oh, I mean, seriously.
There I love so- that it was never easy and made you fight for it. That horse has made you cry after you won the World Show a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm sure you hated it, I appreciate that about him.
Yeah.
Favorite Vino story, like one that you were like?
Yes, I showed him one of the NSBA World Shows. I mean, I just, it honestly made me feel like I was putting on a clinic. Like he, like when our trainer friends go, you put on a clinic, truly made me feel like I put on a clinic. I could just never look down, look straight ahead, and he was amazing. The more you reared back and showed him, the better he was. If you got up over him, you're done.
Well, I have two stories I'll remind you of.
Okay, you do it.
You got a bad memory, Mama Goose.
Thank you.
So, back in the day when Vital Signs Are Good and Cervino were running neck and neck, right? Like there was a big unspoken rivalry between them.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all showed at the Congress in the maturity.
Yeah.
I cannot remember who was showing the Real Mare. I don't know if it was Kristen or not. I don't remember. It was this big thing. Yeah. And the scuffle was, it's in the Coliseum because the maturity show is in the Coliseum at the Congress.
Right.
That is what, 16-2?
Yeah.
So the scuttle was, you know, the Real Mare is going to beat Vino in the Coliseum because it's a tiny pet. It's a giant horse.
Yep.
I love both those horses. Like, I don't prefer something bigger and deeper and softer.
Mm-hmm.
So I gravitate towards a giant black beautiful horse, but I do not appreciate what Vital Signs is would make me sound dumb or anybody sound dumb. So it was clearly a two horse class. And I remember that you went in there and I didn't know who was third. No one knows who was third. For some reason, I think it was the first time that you guys had really shown against each other. I don't know why that is, but it had been, I don't know why. And I remember that it was a duel all the way down the line and you ended up winning it. It was a debate, like you guys backed up. The crowd went wild for both of them, and I would have hated to be a judge that day.
I think that Kristen did show that horse then.
She was always best for Kristen, so that would make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, for whatever that's worth.
That would have been the maturity then.
It was the open maturity. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I think maybe she'd won the limited,
mm-hmm.
and then she came against you in the open, and Kristen was Kristen, and she'd won enough. They were perfectly willing to let her win the open. Like, that wasn't an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It was a heavyweight fight.
It was. You're right. You remember things better than I do.
I just remember clear as day sitting in the stands. I literally went up there. Because the maturity always goes early at the Congress.
Yeah.
And we're all still fresh.
Yep.
So everybody who didn't have a horse in the class went up to watch the maturity. And kind of, it's not fair. The maturity kind of sets the pace and the momentum for the whole horse show.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Sets pace for the world show too. And is it possible that it was either Vino's first year in the senior?
I think it was.
Because it was something about it was the first time that they had shown against each other.
Yeah. I think you're right. That might have been the year. I mean, one of those years I got kicked out at the Congress on him. It was awful. He stepped on a rock. I felt it before I went in the pen. And in there, I got kicked out.
After you won the maturity? Because you won the maturity.
I think that was then, Katie. Because I went in there and, by golly,
won the maturity in the Coliseum and you got kicked out in the senior pleasure in the...
Oh, I remember that, actually.
Yeah. And he limped. And it was... Troy Oakley told me, he said, when you went out, he said, everybody kind of drew up in their saddles. They pulled up and they said, we're going to show. That black horse went out the gate.
She's down. Man down.
I think it was Troy Oakley that said that. Said we all aired back up.
Man.
That's a great story, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many times in a row did you win the world show? How many?
Eight.
And that's a record, right?
For the pleasure?
It's a record. Okay. You know what, Karen? I'm just going to tell you. It's a record. 8 times in a row for a horse and rider combination to win any event.
It is?
Not know that? Yes.
Yes.
How about the Congress? How many times you win the Congress on him? Do you know?
No, that I don't know. It's too many times to count.
That horse himself has won over $250,000.
He also is in the $250,000 club.
If it were such a thing for an animal, yes.
For an animal.
You should nominate him for the $250,000 club, and I'm serious.
Nicole? Diane, where you at?
Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. The first horse in the $250,000 club.
Should we phone another friend?
I'm going to call Darcy right now.
Darcy will know.
I'm going to call Darcy. Better answer that phone. I ain't called her in a while.
Hello?
What are you doing?
Darcy!
Nothing. What are you doing?
You're on Show Pony.
You're on Show Pony.
I'm on Show Pony? Oh, dang. I'm a celebrity.
You are. Katie Joe, say hi.
Hi, Dars.
What's up, Katie?
So I have some questions for you.
Okay.
How many times has Vino won the world show?
16? 15 or 16.
Does that include the Western Riding and the amateur? Yeah.
I won 8 times.
Okay. Yeah, and then I won 8 times.
So we're clear. Half of those were Karen's.
Yeah. Okay, but then he also won the Western Riding one time, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I count as my eight.
Because you won the amateur Western Riding.
Yes. He does.
What?
How many times did he win the Congress?
29. Not counting all around really? Or in the speed or anything like that.
He won the Congress 29 times.
On the all around? Is that what she said?
On the all around twice.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay.
One in the amateur, one in the open.
Gee. He's amazing, huh, Darce?
Best horse ever.
So he's won over 250,000, right?
Yeah, I think his final count was 20-something.
So we're going to nominate him for the $250,000 club.
Can we do that? We want to do that. We want to be the first horse nominated to the $250,000 club.
That would be amazing.
They'll do, like, all of our headshots and then his headshot.
That's cool.
He's in the Hall of Fame, but he can be in the $250,000 club, too.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, we had to call you because I knew you would have all the right answers.
Do you have a favorite Vino story?
Yeah, we can hear you good, so we can do this.
He was the worst when you'd win, and you'd have to do your victory lap.
He did. Your worst Vino story.
Worst Vino story. It had to have been the arch. When
yep.
You told me to roll my spur, and I waited till the judge wasn't looking, and I did it, and it just happened to be by that metal little walkway door, and he kicked it. One judge caught it, and one judge didn't.
Hey, but it sounded like a gun going off. I remember that. It was a gun.
Yeah, it was. And, like, horses spooked and were running around the arena, and Vino just stopped like, he wasn't me.
No, he was a good faker. Yeah, everybody else looked really bad, but he kept going on, and it didn't look like him.
Oh, no.
He got away with it.
One time at the Rikers, like, my first Riker with him, and we're loping along the back wall, and there was a bird, and he started trying to step on the bird while still loping. Put his head down and he tried to bite the bird.
That's right. I forgot him. And he hated the pigeons. Any pigeon. Or if there's a dog in the arena, he will slam a dog.
And he hates his victory laps?
He didn't hate it. He just got excited. Like, ooh, look at me.
He did.
And so he kind of forgot what buttons were in victory laps.
Yes. He did, didn't he? Oh, remember we would scratch his neck so hard standing in the lineup.
Oh, I know.
Anything to keep him from bucking. I'm like, this is a great moment, but he's going to buck us off.
It's such a great problem to have, but still, don't embarrass me, you know.
That was it, Darcy. Yep.
Thank you, Darcy. Yep. You were a good phone friend.
Awesome, thank you. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Oh. I'll call you, friend.
Okay, sounds good. I love you.
Love you, too.
Bye, Darcy.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye. Aw.
That was awesome.
Like a little daughter to me.
What was your favorite moment as a coach just watching her show?
When things got a little hairy with him and he wasn't good, and she would go past me, and we knew things weren't working, but, like, buttons and stay and... She'd come by me and she'd just look at me and shake her head. No, it's not working. But she would show him anyway. And she would just keep showing. She just kept showing. Because
she has a way of looking stoic in the saddle, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she did. Her and I both knew, but his legs looked amazing. He always just stood up and loped. So it didn't matter. As horse trainers, you guys know. Go in there with your feet, you still got to test the waters. And it was like, he said no.
So, life after Vino.
It's been tough. I wanted every horse to be a Vino.
So you chase that feel on every horse.
Yeah, for sure. There's been a few after. I've been fortunate. I mean, even now our group of horses we have now are amazing and group. But you still always chase that one. That special one.
He's nodding your head over there, too.
What's that?
You're nodding your head over there, too.
I mean, I'm just kind of being whimsical, if that's a word. Like, I feel like, especially after our conversation, we've done this, like, journey together down the deal, and so now you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're riding horses, grandkids.
Right. Right.
You know?
And she has grandkids now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. By the way, you are a gilf.
I'm a gill. I know what that means, but I won't say it.
I know. Show Pony Radio, I taught her what that means. But different.
Elevated MILF, yeah, elevated.
That's right. So, I'm going to get real serious for a second.
Okay.
So unlike you.
Yeah. now that you're not dead or anything, but you're mm-hmm. you've done this for, you know, 30 years.
Right.
So now what? And where to from here?
So with all this COVID thing going on, I didn't want to think about it, but with all this going on, it makes me think about it more. And I, you know, what's in the future, and as you get older and retire, and makes me think about it, the next step and a plan. Yeah.
You have one?
I have a small plan. I think I do. Not much of a planner, if you can't tell, but
I had no idea.
I'm not much of a planner.
But you're having more fun in this phase of your life, too, I mean.
Oh, I have a blast. I like what I do, but I know it can't last forever. So with all this going on, this COVID thing is a little bit of a kick in the butt to go, now what? Now what are you going to do? So
I think that's an issue. Yeah. So what's next is a major issue for horse trainers.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really makes you think. And I did a few things here a couple weeks ago. I did some virtual lessons. I had some people respond to me, and we've done that, and that was good. It made me feel good about it. I'm not saying that that's the whole thing, but it's just something different out of my comfort zone that I needed to do. I'd never done lessons.
And Florida, and your parents are there now.
Mm-hmm.
So Karen's parents have a donut shop.
Go for donuts.
Go for donuts. South of Ocala in Dunellen. Ironically, my grandparents met your grandparents randomly. Crazy story, but that's another time.
Oh,
really
my.
Cute. Yeah, it was really cute. And I actually figured out that your parents lived down there.
Oh,
was
yeah.
We met this lady named Karen Hornick, and she says she knows your dad and you. Your parents, sorry. Anyway, and so, I know you love Florida. Do you see yourself moving down there with us?
I would love to live in Florida. If I could have the perfect situation for me.
Yeah, what's Karen's ideal sitch?
If I could go to Florida and ride a few horses and have another business. Still have some horses. That would be my retirement. I'd love
right.
to be in Florida. Try.
If you could give some advice to young horse trainers, what would it be?
Oh, honesty. Gotta be honest with yourself and your horses and your people.
It's hard to be honest to your horses.
Yeah, because we all strive for the next step, and that horse might not be capable of it.
I do too. I find as I'm 36, but I really find in the last 5 years I'm really getting a lot better at being honest with myself and my horses in that way.
Mm-hmm. Right, because I've always had that horse that you go, well, I'm ready possibly to give up on it, and then once it turns around, then you go, wow, it made it. So then on your next group of horses, you think, well, that one made it.
Totally.
So then I'm like, well, I need to keep trying. So it makes us want to try. I'm a trier.
And then you try really hard on this one horse that you knew 6 months ago it wasn't going to work.
Right.
And you keep thinking back on the last horse last year. And you thought, well, hell, I wanted to give up on that one. I didn't. And look what happened to that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
So I just think you got to be honest with it and keep trying, and honest with your customers, and feel what you feel, just relay to them. Be honest about it.
Ty is currently outside the window waving because we have locked him out of his own home.
No waving at us.
And he can't stand it.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, even me and Sarah, we've had some tough conversations. It's not tough that Sarah's tough. It's, I don't really know how to say it in a good way. And so what I honestly just do is I have a real conversation with her in the way that I have it in my head.
Right. Right.
I just, so instead of saying, you know, what I want to happen, what I say to Sarah is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like one day I love him and one day I don't.
Right.
I want to quit on him, but last year I had that black horse and I wanted to quit on it. And then all of a sudden it turned the corner. So I don't know, do I go forward? Do I step on the gas? And then I don't want to say go forward and spend your money.
Right.
And then I don't want to spend your money. And then in 6 months, you say, why did I spend your money?
Right. But that's the honesty you're saying, like to be able to have those kind of conversations with our customers, that you have to be able to have that and have that communication together and feel comfortable with each other.
I will say after 10 years, we pretty much are thinking the same thing anyways. We're just waiting for one of the two to sort of start the conversation.
Yeah. And I kind of think for me and Sarah anyway, I can't speak for you, Karen, but one of two things happens. Either I'm annoyed that she didn't just say how she felt before I showed,
mm-hmm.
or she's annoyed that I'm annoyed at her that she said what she felt before I showed it.
That is so right.
Then we just laugh about it anyways, and then we come up with a plan.
At first, we we get a huffy and we kind of walk off. And then normally Tim's voice reason, and he's like, listen, girls, you're both right and you're both wrong, and we don't know what it is yet.
Right. So, but it takes that. It takes that team effort with the customer and many, many years together being to that spot to make a good team, because you're dealing with an animal and it's not going to be by the book all the time. It's so up and down. And I think as women, I get very emotional by it. I want it to be good. And I get very close to my people, it's just.
Sarah doesn't count. She's been here 10 years and we're emotional people, Sarah and I.
And always.
We're nice to each other and mean to each other and all that stuff. And we both understand that as soon as we walk away, no matter what we said, it's going to go away. But, you know, the rest, everything else, there's some rapport that you earn.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, Karen, this is a great segue. You've had a lot of customers for years.
Yeah, I've been very lucky.
Well, let's talk about two things before we quit. Let's talk about your health. Let's talk about your customers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with your health. I think your biggest legacy, for me, I think of you, is the people that have come through your bar and that work for you. Do you agree or disagree with that? And
absolutely.
Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The people that work for us. I think anytime somebody comes and works for you, they have their own feel that big or little that I can't teach. I have to let them have a little bit of their own feel, add to it. I think some people try, you know, if you try to take that away, those people stop. So I think the ones that have came through here, I've let them have a little of their own feel for sure, and I've tried to add to it. Then we go from there.
Give us some names, and that's well said. You're right. But give us a list of names.
A roll call. You will.
Oh my. Matt Geringer, Wade Black, Wade Parks, Jeffrey Gibbs,
Chris Jones, Benny Lee, Brian Cox,
Ryan Strunk, Melvin Yoder, Lauren,
God, if you forgot Lauren.
Lauren Lowe, Dustin Horsley.
I mentioned it.
Did a great job.
I feel like as a giant legacy and part of your rapport as a fellow horse trainer,
mm-hmm.
how long you have kept your customers. I think you might have some records going here.
Thanks.
So give us a list of your, not current, but talk about that first era that we talked about. Name those customers are still here.
Tom Wilson, Nedra and Tom Wilson from Indiana. For Ty's customers and Ty, and then for Ty and I together, Tom passed away, leukemia. Nedra, they were great people for Ty.
Cammie still hangs out all the time.
Yeah, Cammie Maleka, Annette Snowden has been here.
Annette's been there for how long? Is she your longest run?
Annette has been, she got in, got out, come back. She's on a little hiatus right now.
We bought Radical Rendezvous from Annette and you.
Yep, Radical Rendezvous.
Yep. That was my first official tying Karen Hornick purchase.
It was?
Thank you. I love that horse. So I worshipped that horse for a year and a half.
It is a cool horse. It was bought from Steve Martin.
It was big and bay and awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's weird? We bought him as a stud and we froze some semen.
Yeah.
Numbers for what kind of sire he is are off the chain.
Really?
Yeah, it's a crazy percentage.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Huh.
He really didn't breed any great mares or anything, but he ended up being decent.
The Reeve family? The Reeve family was here for a long time. Dino and Darcy, and we bought some other horses here and there.
Sports Buffs owners?
No.
He got to retire here, didn't he?
But I bought him back. I bought Sports Buff back, Ty and I did, and our kids showed him. Yeah.
He roamed the farm. He was like a free roam animal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should have said that. Because wasn't that Justin's youth horse?
Yep. My Justin showed him. That was his first youth horse. And then Brandon, my nice son, got to show him.
In the walk trot?
No, he showed him in the pleasure novice youth.
Really?
Listen, that horse looks so good. You have to show him in the walk loop.
Definitely, Katie Jo. You're right. You show that one in the walk loop.
My favorite story was coming here when you were laying over before the Congress, Katie. And I pulled in the driveway, and Sports Buff was like a free roaming African lion safari animal.
Him and Vino both?
No. Vino, I think, would run off. Yeah. But Sports Buff, he was just like.
He was like a free roaming animal. Like, you know how people like have like donkeys at their farm?
Yep.
It was Sports Buff.
Yeah, Sports Buff got to go wherever he wanted.
Yeah, he didn't have a stall or a pasture or anything.
Buffy? And they're like, yeah, Buffy does whatever he wants. And I was like, okay.
And then sometimes he'd come in the arena and watch all these horses ride around and just stand there and watch us.
Yeah.
Just stand there watching the you young punks.
Yeah. Vino's a great lesson horse now. He gives lessons. People get to ride him and give good lessons. He could go to the show pen.
Yeah.
He's great right now.
That's great. So what else? What else do you want to say?
Talk about your mentors, your key mentors in the horse business.
Because I mentioned Brent Tencher, Terry Cross, amazing, great friend. We can be honest with each other, eyes on the ground for me and Ty, and good friend. Bill Caven. Caven gave me great advice on Vino one time when I came out of the pen at the NSBA World and told me a few things. It only takes a few words or a sentence and it registers, and then I can run with it. It was had to do with Vino to the right, because that was his sticky way. And how was that? On getting him to step through in his front leg. I have to think about it. But it was a suggestion he made. I never forgot it. For, like, as far as what he said to do that day. I never forgot that Bill was the one that got me to that spot. Because I came out of the pen crying. It was awful.
Did it not go well?
Mm-mm. I was like, 6 out of 10 or something like that.
On Vino?
Yeah.
Wow. That was early in his career?
Yeah.
Well, whatever he told you obviously stuck.
Yeah.
As a person who has grown up in the horse business.
I'm going to cry. Is this the Jerry Maguire moment? Yeah, it is. No. It's happening.
Strike this for the record?
It shall not be stricken.
Oh,
you're so sweet.
No, I'm not. I'm not sweet. I'm not. You were really good to me for a really long time. And, you know, you have people that do a lot of winning and do a lot of great things that doesn't stick with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I really feel like I really had a great view of your, just your career, I think your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been really kind. You've been good to me. You've been good to your customers. You've been good to your people. You're a good wife. You're good to your husband. You're just really great person, and you're a dear friend today, and I that's a
aww.
Awesome. And I just want to say that I'm really sorry this took so long to do with you. I just wanted to make sure we got it right, and I'm just so proud that you're my friend.
Aww, thanks, K-Jo. And we've known each other forever, and in all those years, and then it goes past, and then we're closer now than ever.
You feel like that?
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I also feel like maybe I needed to get, maybe we just needed to age and slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I think when you're young, you are so, I mean, I'm still young, I guess, but yeah. I'm not, I don't know. Like, I feel like when I say that I'm young, you know, I'm younger than you.
Yeah.
We're not in our 20s anymore, and we're not so driven and blind.
Yeah. You step back.
Yeah, you just kind of exhale and you look around and you've been beat up.
Mm-hmm.
You've been cut across the concrete and you just figure out what actually matters. And none of the stuff we thought matters, matters.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm looking at the NSBA top 20 lifetime earners in the Open Western Pleasure. Number 10, actually this is funny, number 9 is Ty Hornick. Number 10 is Karen Hornick. And number 11 is Katie Jo. Aww. But you two are one and two for the women open Western pleasure riders of all time. So,
Joe, high five.
How you doing?
Pretty salty. Pretty salty company. What would your advice be to women? How do you become guys? What do you do?
All goose.
She didn't want to go first.
No, I'll go first. No, I don't mind if someone wants to step on your toes.
No. Go ahead.
When it leaps in the air and grabs a bridle and things get hairy, do not get off and give the reins to your husband to let him fix it.
Yes.
I have too much pride for that, and I'll be damned.
Yes.
I know that sounds weird. I was raised by a whole bunch of chauvinistic men. It's not their fault. It's an era.
Yeah.
And they love to, quote unquote, take care of their women and give them a broke horse to go in there and show in the hunt seat and yada, 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 and I'll be damned.
Yeah, you're right.
If it's in the air and it grabs a bridle, I will grab the bridle reins and get out of my way.
Yep, you're exactly right. I've
said it 100 times, Karen, and I don't think for a woman to win, you have to ride like a man.
But you can't, do you show like a man also? Or
no. No, I think we're feminine. I don't. No, I'm going to show like a woman, but I'm going to be aggressive.
Yeah, I think that's a weird thing to say because I don't feel like a woman when I go in there. I feel like a pit bull. I mean, I don't mean to be mean. No. I just mean, like, I'll be damned. But for me, so this is another thing too. You know what? Don't you feel, Karen, like sometimes you get questions about like what's it like to be a woman?
Yeah.
And you borderline, not bad, not for real, but you borderline get a little bit almost insulted.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, absolutely.
I don't horse train like a woman.
No.
Matter of fact, there's men that would get off and hand me the reins, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
I think it makes us drive harder.
Yeah. It makes yeah. This is your interview. Sorry.
No, I love it.
I asked you guys a joint question because I know that's like a cool opportunity to have you both.
Yeah, I basically quit showing the hunt seat so that I could win the Western.
Well, that period is over, by the way.
I understand. I got one more year, Sarah, I promise.
Unfinished business, okay?
Yeah, I got one more year. I just, you know, it's the unfair thing about women. You can't dominate the hunt seat on Saturday, then win the tie on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, and I learned that the hard way in Michigan at weekend horse shows. And I had like two strings of horses. I had my hunt seat string and my Western string, and I would dominate the hunt seat on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
My Western customers knew that the next day they weren't going to let me beat Mitch Leckie and Brian Baker, and even if I was supposed to. Because you didn't come to Michigan a lot, or I would have said you guys. Because I won yesterday. So if I could be first to third, I would be third.
Yeah. But
and that's there.
That was me. I think that's wrong.
No, but it's also the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta figure, there's human beings in the middle of the pen.
Yeah.
And if I'm judging in your territory, I had a horse show in Wilmington, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Kenny Lankins, Ty Hornick, Judd Paul, insert other horse trainers from that area of Ohio horse show.
Brian Baker.
Brian Baker. I'm sorry, yes, I shouldn't have said that. Brian Baker, you know, those people. And so if Dawn wins the hunt seat all day on Saturday, I can't decide to let, whether it's her or the other three people on Sunday, it's just human nature. She's going to lose the tie. That's nothing, that's just... On you on four classes yesterday. I can't decide who gets to win today. It's not going to be you.
You shouldn't be prejudiced because you can get you a girl who can do both, okay?
I can, but we also have to be honest about things. I mean, this is reality. And you please put this in there. Like, these are tough choices people have to make. It's reality.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a bigger choice for women because there's more women that show hunt seat than men. Plus, I look bad in hunt clothes, and I would rather wear black chaps than skin-colored tight pants.
One more year, and then we can have a breech burning party.
My goal this year, I have a really nice Masters Hunt Seat horse, and Sarah's 3-year-old is great, so I'm going to give it all I got.
Then we will burn the britches after the horse show.
Yeah. And Sarah has been second in the hunt seat like 20 times and never won.
This She's is gonna true. Win it. Gotta do it. Gotta give it my best.
So that's our last. Like, once that happens,
we're done.
We'll have a real life conversation about the hunt seat.
Stop.
Really nice horses. We need to try.
But you didn't answer the question yet, Karen. So, what is your advice to upcoming female horse trainers?
Don't quit. Keep going. Don't stop. Just when you think.
What's your honest to God advice? What would you tell someone?
Marry someone better than you.
That's so great and amazing.
Marry someone better than you. No.
I'll say this. Marry someone who's better than you at some things.
Yes.
Because I'm being serious, because we can't be good at everything.
No. No.
Like, you're really good at, okay, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
I used to think back in the day, what made you and Ty so invincible? Ty was hard-handed. He'd whack him.
Still does.
Yeah.
He needed a whack. You were soft.
Yeah.
Well, soft gets you run off on, and whack makes you not very good-legged.
Right?
But between the two of you, it was a really great thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a team. I mean, I hate to tell somebody, oh, you got to have a partner in it, but if you don't, get help wherever.
Let's just divide the lines not around sex. Let's just say, train horses with someone who's better than you at other things.
That's right. Yes.
Hey, Ty, what's Karen's best quality? What would you say?
Besides training, her best quality is she's the best teacher in the world.
Teacher.
What about her as a person, though, outside of horses altogether?
She's the love of my life.
Aw. I love that you guys are still in love.
I do too.
Yes.
I do too. It's very sweet. So, from one female icon to another, what do you say, Joe?
I say thank you.
Well, thank you. I look up to you now.
Oh, stop. That makes me feel funny.
No, I do. I'm proud of you. I get to look up to you. And then it keeps me going on things I need to do.
I like being each other's fan.
Yeah. We need to high five.
There's some people that you root for, and I have this thing in our camp we call the family. I know you know you're the family. And you really are the family. And just thanks and good job and for being my friend and my hero and yada yada.
Thanks, Katie Jo. You're my hero now.
Stop.
Keep us rolling.
Do my best.
Okay. Should we end here? So sad. It won't end.
Bye, friend.
Okay, now we're done.
Now we're done.